Okay. Today's daf is Maseches Shabbos, daf Ayin Zayin. My name is Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb. I am substituting for Rabbi Elephant, who is out of the country, and for Rabbi Grossman, the usual substitute, who just is getting up from Shiva, and we wish him a Nichum Avelim. The Gemara in Perek HaMotzi Yayin is giving the quantity of various types of foodstuffs for which one is chayev if one carries it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa on Shabbos. And different foodstuffs have different shiurim depending upon the chashivus, the significance of these small shiurim. In general, foodstuffs have the shiur of kegrogris, but as we will see, in special cases, the shiur is quite a bit less than a kegrogris. The Mishnah speaks, and the name of the perek is Hamotzi Yayin, and the Mishnah said that the shiur for which one is chayev for carrying out yayin, wine, on Shabbos is kedei mezigas hakos. And the Gemara said that means kos yofe, which is kos shel brocha. The kos which is used for birchas hamazon, that's the kos that we're talking about, and the shiur kedei meziga is 1/4 of that kos. So that kos is the size of a revius, a quarter of a lug, about the size, according to Rashi, of a beitza umachza, an egg and a half. In this case, the amount of wine is 1/4 of that revius, 1/4 of a quarter of a lug. Rova revius. The last words in the previous daf were Omar Rova afanana mitanino. We also learned in a Mishnah, Hamotzi Yayin, now Mishnah, Hamotzi Yayin Kedei Mezigas Kos V'toni Alo. And we learned in a Braisa, which expands a bit upon the Mishnah, Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofe V'kotoni Seifo U'sha'or Kol HaMashkin B'Revias. So you see clearly that the amount here is less than a Revias. And it is a quarter of a revius. Where does Rava get the idea of a quarter of a revius is the amount of yayin used for meziga? For Rava l'tame, meziga means diluting, pouring wine into the cup and then diluting it with water so that it is drinkable, not too strong. For Rava l'tame, Rava is consistent with his opinion elsewhere in Shas. Yomar Rava, Rava has said, kol chamra, every bit of raw wine, undiluted wine, delodori ad alchat las maya, where you don't put in for every one portion of this undiluted wine, three portions of water, lav chamrahu. It's not wine, it's too strong. So that the shir meziga, according to Rava, is 3-1. So if it's 3-1, in a revius, you will have 3 parts water, 1 part wine. If a person carries that on Shabbos, just that 1 part wine, which would be sufficient to contribute to 1/4 of a revius, that is the amount for which he's chayev on Shabbos. That's Rava's opinion. Omar Abaya, Abaya comes along and says, Shtei teshuvos badovor. I have 2 objections to Rava's point of view. Chode, one objection is, this not because we learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Nida. The Gemara there is talking about the different shades of red which qualify as being identifiable as Dam Nida, as menstrual blood, which obviously has certain halachos, or the color which is not the color of menstrual blood and therefore does not have those halachos. So the Mishnah there says, "V'hamozuk shnei chelkei mayim v'echod yayin min hayayin hashironi." That of that type of wine, hashironi, Rashi says, the yayin which comes from Sharon, Sharon the Yerushalayim tell us and we know is a region in Eretz Yisrael. So the wine from that place with a certain shade of red, and if you have a stain or blood, the color of this yayin sharoni diluted 2 parts water and 1 part yayin, that is the color. Well, obviously from here, Abaya says, you see that the shear is 2-1, water to wine, and not 3-1. That's one objection. V'yod, another objection is, mayim bekad umitztarfin. The shear for liquids is a full revius. He's only carrying out 1/4 of a revius, kedei mezigas hakos of yayin. As it is, it's not roi. If you add three parts of the water, if you pour from the cart, from the water pitcher, and add three parts of mayim, then it will be good wine. But as it is now, it is not. Omale Rova, Hotiko Amrit. Rova answers both objections. This is objection number one. Shnei chelke mayim v'echod yayin min hayayin hashironi. The Mishnah specifically says in Maseches Nida that the wine we're talking about is the wine from the Sharon, a special kind of wine. Yayin hashironi l'chud derofi. It's only that type of wine which happens to be very weak. And if you dilute it with two parts of mayim, that's sufficient. But regular normal wine requires, as I feel, says Rava, three parts of wine. Inami, hoso mishum chazusa. There, we're talking about colors. The color which matches the color of menstrual blood. So there, we say wine, which is two parts water, one part yayin, is the color that we're considering. Avalataima, but here we're talking about taste. What is a good tasting wine? In that case, boitfei, a good tasting wine is not 2-1 water to wine, but 3-1 water to wine. That's question number one, objection number one. As far as objection number two is concerned, udeko amrit mayim bekad umitztarfin, if you ask me the question, that the water is still in the pitcher. All he's carrying is the raw, undiluted wine. Why should the water, not even in the wine yet, be mitztarev to the shir? The answer is, le'inyon shabos midi dechoshev be'inon. When we talk about Shabbos, the shiurim for Shabbos, so what is the shiur is that which is significant, that which is important and valuable. For honami hachoshiv, this one quarter of a revius of raw yayin is in and of itself choshuv. As Rashi says, dechosi litzrufei be'maya, because you can add water, so it's potentially useful, and therefore, in and of itself, it is now considered to be useful. The Achronim discuss, Minchas Chinuch and others, this distinction between something which is now not usable, but potentially is usable, but according to our Gemara, it would seem that something with that potential is already considered choshuv. And therefore, even though it's less than a shear, that's less than a revius, much less than a revius, a quarter of a revius, it still is the shear for which you are chayev on Shabbos. The Taz in Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Yud uses this Gemara among his rayas that if a person drinks a less than a revius of yayin sorof, of schnapps, people don't usually drink a revius of schnapps, they drink a shot cup, which is a fraction of a revius. Nevertheless, after that, he has to make a brocha achrona, because the schnapps is in and of itself choshuv, that's how people drink it in small quantities, and it is certainly roi lehitz tarif. In any case, the Gemara continues. Tone, we learned in a braisa, yovesh b'chezayis divrei Rabbi Noson. If you have yayin, which is dried out, so then we look at the shear of a kezayis. When it's liquid, the shear, of course, is when it's liquid, the shear is a revius. When it's solid, the shear is a kezayis. But when you have dried wine, yayin korosh, Rashi says, congealed wine, it becomes a solid, then we measure it not as a liquid, but as a solid, and we require the shear of kezayis. Divrei Rab Noson. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Rabbi Noson, this Rabbi Noson that we just learned about, Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, and the Tana will soon learn about name Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, Omru Dovor Echo. They both said the same thing about liquids which have become transformed into solid and how you measure them for halachic purposes. Rav Noson Hodi Amoron. Rav Noson just said it. If the yayin on Shabbos becomes korush, becomes congealed, then the shear becomes a kezayis. And that's Rav Noson. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, is the following. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda said, Shisho Devorim me kule be shamay ume chumre be silil. There are six matters upon which Beis Shammai was lenient and Beis Hillel was much stricter. Rashi points out that there are more than six in all the Shas where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is stricter. Most of the time, Beis Hillel, of course, is a lenient one. But there are more than six. But these are the six that were reported by Rabbi Yehuda in Meseches Edus. And here's the Chumrah. Dam Nevela. What happens with Dam Nevela? If a Nevela, a carcass of a kosher animal, which is Metame, even of a kosher animal, so the flesh is Metame, Tumas Nevela. What about the Dam? So Beis Shammai Metaren. Beis Shammai says it's Tahor. Dam Nevela is not Metame. Only Bosor, only the flesh is Metame, not the Bosor. Rashi feels here that it is, even according to Beis Shammai, Metame Tume Kala. However, other Rishonim disagree with that. But for our purposes, Beis Hillel Metamen. Beis Hillel says Dam Nevela is also Metame Tumas Nevela. Omrav Yosi Brav Yehuda, Af Kishet Timu Beis Hillel, Loi Timu Elu Bedam Sheyesh Bo Revias. That when Beis Hillel said Dam Nevela is Metame, it's only a Revias Dam, the liquid measure of Revias of Dam, Dam normally being liquid. Why do we say Revias? Hoil v'yochol likrosh v'lamod al kezayis. Since the Dam can become congealed, and the Revias of liquid Dam, when it's congealed, is transformed into a kezayis of solid Dam. So Revias liquid equals kezayis solid. So we see, according to this point in the Gemara, that Rav Nosson and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda both agree that what is in liquid or revius, when it's transformed into a solid, it becomes a kezayis. Omar Abaya, Abaya says, Dilmalohi, who says that? Who says that Rav Nosson and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda are saying the same thing? Ad kan loy koma Rav Nosson hocha, de boy revius ela b'yayin. Rav Nosson is talking about Yayin with regards to Hotzah on Shabbos. So there he says, you need the sufficient amount of wine, which is a Revias, because Ela B'Yayin de Kolish, because Yayin wine is weaker, is more liquidy, less solid than Dam, than blood, and therefore, in order to have a full kezayis of yayin korush, of congealed wine, it has to come from a full revius of liquid wine. Aval bedam desomich, but dam is thicker, blood is thicker than, in this case, blood is thicker than wine, blood thicker than water, but blood thicker than wine. Kezayis loboy revius, a kezayis of congealed dam, can be created from less than a revius of liquid dam. So it could be Rav Nosson is saying his equation only for yayin, not for dam. Ainami ad kan lo ka'omar Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda hosom de kezayis sagilei b'rvias ele b'dam de samach. It could be the reverse, that Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda feels that out of a revias of liquid dam is sufficient to convert into a kezayis of congealed dam, of solid dam, because that's dam. Dam is thicker, and therefore a revias equates a kezayis. Avol yayin de kolish, but yayin which is much more diluted, much more liquidy, less thick, kezayis haviyosim revias. It could be that a kezayis will yield, a kezayis solid yayin will yield more than a revias of liquid. V'chimapik pochas mikezayis l'chayev. It could be chayev for yayin if he carries out less than a kezayis of solid yayin. So therefore, the Gemara says it is not necessarily true that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Nosson omru dovor echod. They could very well be each speaking about a different liquid, one about dam, one about mayim. There was, of course, much discussion in the Rishonim and in the Poskim about the measuring, for various halachic purposes, liquids which become solidified. Water which becomes ice, wine which becomes congealed, blood which becomes congealed, etc. There was a machlokas rishonim specifically with what happens if a kezias of chalev, kezias of not kosher fat, falls into a pot of kosher food, kezias. Do you require, and it then becomes liquefied, the chalev melts and becomes liquid. So there's a shitas hora'o, one of the rishonim, who says that we require not 60 shishim kezesim keneged the chazayas chalev, but shishim revios, which is much more than 60 kezesim in actual fact. So, but here, since a kezias fell in, we have to, and it became liquid, we have to measure for 60 revios. However, the Chidushi Horan and other Rishonim disagree and say no. With reference to the whole inyan of Shishim, it's only Midrabonon, Midoraisa Chad Betray Bottle, etc. So therefore it's sufficient if a kezias of a chelev, of a fatty solid substance, falls into a pot, it's sufficient to have 60 kezesim to be mevatelit. You don't require 60 reveals. Now the Gemara goes off on a very interesting tangent having to do mostly with language, spelling, and the meanings of words. Fascinating Gemara. But anagadata, ibayalahu kede gemiya o kede gemiya. It's hard to pronounce the difference between the two. But do you spell the word gemiya, which is the shiur given in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, cholov kede gemiya, how much milk do you have to be carry out in order to be chayiv on Shabbos for hoitzah? So the Mishnah said, kede gemiya, the amount that one swallows. All right? One gulp, so to speak. So do you spell that word, gemiya, with an aleph? Gimel mem yud aleph hey, or with an ayin, gemiya gimel mem yud ayin hey. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he brings proof from a posuk. El Osar Eved Avrom told Rivka, hagmiini no ma'at mayim mikadech. Give me a gulp of a little bit of water from your pitcher. And there in the Torah, hagmiini is spelled with an aleph. So here too, the correct spelling is with an aleph, even though in our Mishnah, and usually it's spelled with an ayin. A question was asked, another spelling test. Garinin, oh garinin, when we speak of seeds and we call them garinin, do we spell garin with an aleph or with an ayin? And this Rashi says it's connected to the Mishnah in the last parak, which spoke about carrying various nuts and seeds and fruits with or without their peels and their pits. So how do you spell it? Amarova Barula, the Nigra Me Erkecha. Rava Barula says this too is a posuk, and the posuk says with reference to Erchin, the posuk says with reference rather to Pidyon from Kegdish, the Gemara says the Nigra Me Erkecha, the posuk says the Nigra Me Erkecha, it would be subtracted from the value, diminished from the value. So you, and there it's spelled v'nigra with an ayin. And why are seeds called seeds? Because they are minus. They are subtracted. They are rejected. They are thrown into the refuse. They are disposed of. And so therefore you spell it with an ayin, which is the common way to spell garinin. A question was also asked, we also had, or will have actually in Maseches Psochim, the word omamos with reference to gecholim, to coals which are now becoming extinguished, they are dimming, there are less and less fire in them, are cool, but they're still hot, they're called gecholim omamos. So do you spell omamos with an aleph or with a yud? Iboyaluhu, omamos or omamos, aleph or ayin. Omar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, he quotes a posuk. It's a posuk actually in the Novi Yecheskel. The posuk reads, Arrozim lo amamuhu began Elokim, that the cedars will not dim it. It will be so powerful and so full of light and illumination that even the tall cedar tree cannot dim it, cannot block it. And that's the same word as gecholim omamos, dimming coals. And it's spelt in the Pasuk in Yecheskel with an ayin. So the answer is omamos ayin. Iboyalahu, another question, ma'amtsin with an aleph tanan, o me'amtsin with an ayin. Later on in the Masechta, in Perek HaShoel, the Gemara speaks about closing the eyes of a mace, of a niftar, of a corpse. What word do you use for closing? Ma'amtsin with an aleph, ma'amtsin with an ayin. Omer Avchia bar Abba, Omer Av Yochanan, he says it's with an ayin, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Otsem Einov Meraos Boro, that he closes his eyes in order not to see evil. I'm sorry, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Holech tzedakos v'dover meshorim, etc. V'otzem einov, v'otzem einov mer'os b'ro. So he closes his eyes, and there otzem is spelt with an ayin. So therefore ma'amtsin is also spelt with an ayin. We shown him point out that la'ametz and la'atzem is the same letters, even though the mem and the tzaddik are in different sequences. It's basically the same word. So to close one's eyes is ma'ametz with an ayin. Tonu Rabbonon. We learned in a braisa, ha'motzi cholov shel behema, if a person takes out the milk of an animal, let's say cow's milk, on Shabbos, then the shear for which he is chayev is kedei gemiyah. The shear is the shear of swallowing, a gulp of milk. Cholov shel isha, but if he carries out mother's milk, a human being's milk, veloven shel beya, or an egg white, then it's a different shear, because mother's milk and egg whites were used in some sort of a potion which was used to smear upon the eyes. And therefore, the amount necessary to be used in the meshifa shel kilur, in this potion, that's the amount which is choshuv, for which you're chayev on Shabbos when it comes to mother's milk or egg white, as opposed to cow's milk, which has a larger shear of kedei gemiyah. And the kilar itself, kedei loshuv b'mayim, the amount necessary to smear with water upon the two eyes, Rashi says, that's the amount of kilar. Kilar is the actual salve to smear upon the eyes for health reasons. So that smaller amount used for these medicinal purposes is the shear necessary to be mechayev, be mechuyav on Shabbos. Boy, Rav Ashi, kedei shifa, o kedei achiza v'shifa. When you pick up this potion and apply it with your fingers, so some of the potion remains on your fingers. Some of the potion is applied to the eyes. So is the shear that little bit which actually goes upon the eye, or is the shear the total amount of that which is on the fingers and on the eye? Teku. For this we have no answer. Devash, we learned in the Mishnah, when it comes to honey, so the amount of honey for which you're chayev on Shabbos for carrying out honey is kedei litein al hakosis, the amount which is necessary to put on a bruise. A kosis is the type of bruise which is made on a beast of burden, a camel or a donkey, when they carry large weights, so they have sores or bruises on their bodies, and the owner would apply honey to these bruises. So the amount of honey necessary to apply to a kosis, this is the amount of honey for which you chayev if you carry it on Shabbos, meshus l'shus. Tone, we learned in a braisa, kedei litein al pi kosis, the amount necessary to put upon literally the mouth of the kosis, which Rashi explains means the entire exposed surface of the bruise. Boy, Rav Ashi, al kosis apuma de kula kosis, Rav Ashi asks, when we say al kosis, do we mean the entire exposed surface of this bruise, this swelling? O dilma amursha kama de kosis, or only on the tippy top of that, the point of it, but not the whole thing, as opposed to around and around, below, which don't require that much of a shiur, teku, this too remains a question. Now, since we're talking about these kinds of things, the use of various materials and foodstuffs for medicinal purposes of one kind or another, the Gemara goes on a digression. But it's an important digression, as we will see. It lays down an important principle of our faith. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol Masha Boro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo'olomo. Everything that God created in His world, Lo Boro Dovor Echad Livatola. Nothing is in vain. Everything has a purpose. Sometimes you wonder, what's the purpose of this insect nowadays? What's the purpose of this bacteria? What's the purpose of this animal, the other animal, all sorts of wild, exotic creatures, and the other things that exist in the world? Well, who needs them? So the Gemara lays down the principle, Kol Masha Bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olomo, whatever is created, Lo Bora Dovar Echad Livatola, nothing is in vain. It's interesting in this connection to quote the words of the Rambam in his Hakdama to his Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam writes there, that the earlier philosophers really tried to find out what is the purpose of every living creature, of everything in the world. Now, the Rambam writes, when a human being creates something, makes something, manufactures something, obviously it has a purpose. An axe, a needle are the examples the Rambam gives. Of course, they have a purpose. But what about those things which are created? Often it's very difficult to determine their purposes, writes the Rambam. And v'yesh devorim shelo neida ela b'nevua. There are things which we don't really understand the purpose of them with science, but only with prophecy. Kegon l'shem ma yesh nemolim balei knofayim and nemolim lo knofayim. Why do some ants have wings, flying ants, and some ants don't? So this is something which science cannot answer. It's interesting, in the very last issue of the medical journal, the scientific journal called Science, it's their 125th anniversary, so they have 125 unanswered questions, questions which science cannot answer. So what the Rambam is telling us, what our Gemara is telling us, science may not have the answer for these things, but there is an answer because there was a purpose to everything that God created in this world. The Meiri writes here on this Gemara a beautiful paragraph, passage, which reads as follows. Mipinos hadas umiyusodos ha'emuna. One of the fundamentals of our faith is shaloli aches lashem yisporach poel habatola, that we shouldn't attribute to God something which is made for no reason. Even though there are many things which we don't know their reasons, we don't know what function they serve, nevertheless, we have to believe that there is a function, and this is what our Gemara is telling us. So the Gemara gives some examples. Boro Shavlu, God created the snail. Again, for many of these creatures, there are different opinions as to what they are. Rashi gives a laz word, a French word, which is normally taken to mean the snail. What's the use of a snail? The snail is good, lekosis. The snail is good to put on these bruises, which come from burdens which one carries. Boros vuv, why did God create the flea? Litzira, for the hornet, because if you're stung by a hornet, you grind up a flea and put it on the hornet bite, and this is curative. Yitosh, lenochosh. God created the small insect, also a type of a flea, called the yitosh, lenochosh, for snake bite. You use this flea as an ingredient in a medicine against snake bite. Vinochosh, what did he create the snake for? Lichafofis. That you use snake oil or ground snake for an ointment of some sort for shchin, for some type of boils on the skin. The samomis is usually translated as a spider, liakrov, for the scorpion. If a person is bitten by a scorpion, the cure for scorpion bite is ground spider. Hechi ovidle, how do you prepare this potion? Maisi chode uchmo, you bring one black one, v'chode chivra, and one white one, v'shalki lehu, you boil it thoroughly, v'shaifile, and you smear it upon your various wounds, and that's how you get the refuah. So it's interesting that this is the use, the ultimate use of these kinds of things for refuah. It's interesting, and it's a question that now is topical, using animals for experimentation purposes. Can you use a living creature, one of God's creatures, as an experiment to try to find cures for human disease? So you know that PETA, the animal rights people, feel we shouldn't use animals for that human experimentation. Well, this is an old question. It goes back to the Shalas V'Tshuvas Shavus Yaakov, which is 200 or 300 years ago, who asked the question, just this question, can animals be used for experimental purposes to help heal human beings? And one of its proofs that you can is this Gemara, which it seems the whole purpose that God created these various creatures is for curative purposes for human beings. Tonu Rabbonon. The Gemara says, we learned in a Braisa, Chamisha Amos Hein. There are five types of fears in the world. Emas cholosh al gibor. What they have in common, it is the fear that a weak creature casts upon a strong creature. And this is also important. Rabim miyad miyatim, chaloshim miyad, gagiborim miyad chaloshim. That God sometimes gives over the strong into the hands of the weak. You can't just look at the superficial strength and judge from there what strength is. Sometimes the weak overcome the strong. Some examples, Emas mafgia al ari. Rashi translates mafgia as some type of an animal which makes a freakishly loud noise. And this noise frightens even the lion. The mafgia is a small animal, but its sound scares the big, brave lion. Emas yito shall hapil. The flea can overcome the elephant. Because, as Rashi says, the flea can go into the elephant's trunk, and eventually the flea can kill the elephant. So it's cholosh al gibor, the weak over the strong. Emas samomis al ho'akrov, the samomis, again, is the spider, can overcome the scorpion, also by penetrating into the organs of the scorpion. Emas nunis, nunis is a small bird. Some say it's a tzipor deror, a sparrow, or something like that, which is a small bird, but it casts its fear over the great eagle, because it can become entangled somehow in the eagle's wings and stop the eagle from flying. Emas kilbis. Kilbis is a small parasitic sea creature, and it's a small creature, but it can overcome the great whale or the great leviathan, the leviathan, which is so huge. So small things, weak things, can overcome large, powerful things. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, my Kero. Where do we have a posuk for this? It's a posuk in Amos, which reads, Hamaflig showed al Oz, that sometimes God can give chizuk, can give power to the victim over the hero. The victim can overpower the strong person. We continue now with an interesting story. According to the Girsa Sabach, it reads, that Omer Rav Zera said, Ashkechel Rav Yehuda dehavi koi apischo de bechamua. I found Rav Yehuda, he was standing at the doorway of his father-in-law's house. The Chasam Sofer says, Vosep his father-in-law's house, because a choson who lives in his father-in-law's house, the Gemara in Meseches Kedushin says, it's a wonderful arrangement, there's no chait. It's a good arrangement. So son-in-laws who are living in their father-in-law's house, perhaps eating kest, they're very happy. And Rav Zera saw that Rav Yehuda was very happy. He was extremely exuberant. And the boy mine kol chalolei alma hava omale. Anything you want to ask him about the ways of the world, he would answer. Whatever question about the things in nature that needed an answer, he could give the answer. And now we have a whole list of these things for which we have answers to questions which seem trivial questions. And of course, this can all be explained and has been by various Mefarshim metaphorically, but we'll just go here through the simple meaning of each one of these matters. Amalei said to him, "My taima izi maskan bereshe v'hodar imri. Why is it if you have a flock of goats and sheep, the goats, who happen to be blackish, gray, dark gray, go first in the parade, and then come the sheep who are white? Amalei kivri yaso shalolam. This is the ways of the world. Debereshe chashocha v'yihi erev. First it's darkness, v'hodar nahora, and then v'yihi erev v'yihi boker. Then it becomes morning. So first it's the dark black goats, and then it's the light white sheep. My taima hani mechasyon vahani megalyon. Why is it goats have no tail covering up their rear parts, whereas the sheep has a big fat tail which covers up its rear parts? So why is it that the sheep are mechasyon and the goats are megalyon? The sheep has, as we know, an alya. All right. Hani de machsinon minayhu mechasyon. Those animals from which we cover ourselves, they are covered. We cover ourselves with sheep's wool. So therefore, the sheep's tail area is covered by a wide tail. But we don't cover ourselves normally with goat skin. We more frequently do it with wool. So therefore, we don't cover ourselves with the goat. Therefore, the goat's rear part is also megalion, is exposed. My taima gamla zutar genuv say, why is it that the camel has a short tail? Mishum de ochal kisi, because it eats this type of grass which has a lot of thorns around it, and we don't want the tail to become damaged by these thorns. My taima turo aricho genuv say, why does the ox have a long tail? Mishum de daya ba'agme, because it lives in the marshes and the swamps. Uboy le karkushe bake, it has to chase away flies and insects, so it has a long tail for that purpose. Everything, in other words, everything has a reason. And again, there's deeper meanings and beautiful drash and all of these, but as time is running out, we have to just go through the simple translation of the rest of the page, pretty much. My time at Karno de Kamtso Rechicha, why is it that the antenna, literally the horns of a grasshopper, are soft? Mishum de Dairi Bechilfi, it lives in the thicket where there's hard wood. V'ikashya Nadja Umis Avra, and we're afraid that the antenna will become, if they're brittle, they will break and become impaired, and then the locust will be blinded, because without the antenna, the locust has no sensory mechanism. The Omar Shmuel, the great doctor, taught us, Haim, a great scientist, taught us, Shmuel Yachanor, Haiman de boy de lismei le kamtsa, a person who wants to blind a locust. By the way, Rashi gives an alternate meaning, that kamtsa means ant. But I guess locusts, grasshoppers have antenna. We don't see antenna on ants. So if a person wants to blind a locust or a grasshopper, lishlofinu likarne, pull off its horns, its antenna, and it's blind. My taima haitimra de tanagolta midle le'elo. Why is it that on a chicken, the lower eyelid goes over the upper eyelid? Most cases, most animals, the upper is over the lower. Here, the lower goes up above over the upper eyelid. The reason is the dairi adape, because chickens live on high sticks, high shelves, high planks. The aisle, if it goes up high, kitra mis avra, the smoke might blind it, and this way the eye is protected by its lower lid. Now the Gemara goes into analysis of a whole bunch of words and shows how these words on nutreken are contractions for what they mean. Dasha. Dasha means a doorway or a threshold. Why is it called Dasha? Derech Shom. That's the way through. So Derech Shom equals Dasha. Darga, why are steps called steps? Derech Gag. Darga is a contraction of Derech Gag, the way to the roof. Matchulisa is a dip of some sort. Rashi explains it. It's a dip. It's a davar shemat bilinbo, kutach, etc. Why is it called matchulisa? Because mosai tichle do. You eat a little bit of a time. You have a bottle of ketchup. You eat a little bit. So it lasts a long time. So you say, when is this going to be over? When is it going to be finished? When are we going to run out of ketchup? So it's called matchulisa. Besa. Why is a house called a besa? Bo v'yesev bo. Come and sit there. Biksa. Why is a little hut called a biksa? Bei aksa, because it's a tight house, very small quarters. Kufsa, kufsa is some type of a stool. Kuf vativ, bend it down, bend it over, and sit down. Livne, bricks. Why are they called bricks? Livne bone, because they last for a long time, even to your children's children. Hutza, hutza is a leafy fence. Is it called hutza because it's a chatzitza? It's not a real fence. It's only a temporary barrier. Chatzva is a fetching pail. It's called the chatzva shechotzev mayim in hanor. It fetches water from the river. Kuza is a small cup. It's called kuza because kozeh. Here's a little bit. This is it. A little bit. Shutisa. A shutisa is a branch of a hadas, which one uses to dance wildly in front of the kala by a wedding. Why is it called shutisa? Because shtusa, a person uses it in a way that looks foolish when he clowns around like a shota in front of the bride. Meshichla. A meshichla is a big, large rinsing bowl, hand-washing bowl. It's called a meshichla because mashikula, everyone washes from it. Mashchilta is a fancier washing bowl. That's called mashchilta as opposed to mashichla because it's mashia kalsa. It only gives water for washing to the kala, to somebody important. It's smaller and fancier. Asisa is a mortar. Chasar, it comes from the word chasirto. It's missing. It's missing a cavity. Buchna, which is the pestle. Why is it called buchna? Bo va'akena. Come and I'll hit it. It's what you hit into. Levusha. Why are garments called levusha? Rashi says referring to the outer garment, the cloak or coat. It's called levusha lo busha. Because when you wear it, you're not embarrassed. It covers up your other clothes. Glima. Glima is an overcoat, a loose-fitting overcoat. Shenasa ba kegolem. When you wear that, you're like a block. They don't see your figure, your curves. They only see you as a block because this hides all your body curves. Gulsa. Gulsa is a very beautiful sweater or jacket that's very ornamental. It's called gulsa because goli ve'esiv. You have to lift it up when you sit down. You don't want it to drag on the floor. You don't want it to get dirty. Puria. Puria is a bed. Why is it called puria? Sheporin v'roven oleha. You reproduce on a bed. You have tashmish hamita on a bed. Bor zinka is a contraction of bor zenoki. This well, this ditch is empty. It's clean. Bor zinka. Sudra. Sudra is a turban which God-fearing people wear. Why is it called sudra? Sod Hashem li reyov. It's a contraction of the counsel of God is to those who fear him. Those who fear him wear the sudra. Apadno, which is a castle or a palace, is a pischadein. Through this door come many, many people for justice to see the king. Tanu Rabbonon, we learned in a brisa, this ends this whole digression. Kolzman Shlosha Maskinim, three types of creatures. The older they get, the stronger they get. Mosif and Gvura. Unlike humans, who the older we get, the weaker we get. These animals, the older, the stronger. The Elohim, dog, the fish, and Nochosh, the snake, and Chazir, the pig. The Meforshim, I think it's the Chasam Sofer, perhaps the Marsha, who says that why do these live long? Because they eat easily accessible, cheap foods. The dog eats the little fish that are available in the sea. The Nochosh eats the earth. The Chazir rummages in the garbage, in the trash. So too, if a person wants to live long, he should eat easily available, not very expensive and luxurious foods, but simple foods. In order to finish the daf continues with what the Mishnah said about shemen, about oil. When you carry out oil on Shabbos, how much oil do you have to carry in order to be chayav? So the Mishnah says, "Kedei losoch ever koton," in order to smear upon, to massage upon a small limb. We'll go through this a little quickly, just to finish the inyan. It's a very simple inyan, and that is Amri de Rav Yanai. They said, "Rav Yanai, shemen kedei losoch ever koton shel koton ben yomo." The small limb of a one-day-old infant, meaning on the fingers of a human being, and an infant too, there are the various bones in the finger. So the smallest bone, the smallest finger of a day-old infant, that's the amount, a very small amount. Mace, for the question is asked, we said, shemen kedei losoch ever koton v'koton ben yomo. So you have both listed in this price. So my love, ever koton de godol, v'ever godol shel koton ben yomo, probably means the small organ, the small bone of an adult versus the largest bone in the size of a day-old infant, in a child of a day-old infant. Amilot v'raviyane lo, that's not what it means. Hachi koma, this is what it means. Shemen k'dei losuch ever koton shel koton ben yomo. The Gemara says perhaps this whole business is a machlokes tanoim, because we learn shemen, how much oil do you have to carry out in order to be chayev on Shabbos? K'dei losuch ever koton v'koton ben yomo div rav shemen lozo. Rav Nosson Omer, k'dei losuch ever koton. Now, obviously, there's a difference here. One says ever koton v'koton ben yomo. One just says ever koton ma la b'ho komifligi. Probably this is the dispute. The Rav Shimon ben Lodasova Aver Koton Shel Koton. You're talking about the smallest little bone in a little infant. Rav Nosson Sovar, either Aver Koton de Godol, the small bone of an adult, or Aver Godol de Koton, or the big bone, the large bone of a baby. Aval Aver Koton Shel Koton ben Yomo, lo. That's surely too small to be chayav. And Morris responds, lo, de kula alma evre koton de koton ben yom alo. Everyone can hold that the smallest bone of a small day old child, that's too small to be chayav. Velesed Rav Yanai, and Rav Yanai is wrong. V'hoche b'hoche miflegi, and this is the machlokes as follows. And we'll just say to the two dots. Rav Shimon loza sover ever koton de godol vi ever godol de koton ben yomo ki adodininu. Rav Shimon says these two shiurim, the small bone of the adult and the large bone of the infant, are equal in size. Rav Nosson Sovar, no. Ever koton de godol in, the small bone of an adult, yes, that's the shear. Ever godol de koton ben yom alo, it's still not big enough to be chayiv on Shabbos. May havi alo, what's the bottom line? Toshma, the sanya of Shemen Lozon, a brisa. Omer says, Shemen k'dei losuch ever koton shel koton ben yom alo. So the Gemara's conclusion is the strictest possibility that if you carry out that amount of oil on Shabbos, mershus l'shus, which is sufficient to smear, to massage the smallest bone in the small day-old infant, that's enough to be chayiv on Shabbos. So, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow another Magid Shir will continue with Shabbos Medaf Ayin Ches.